Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
If the life of Jesus in the early church was a play, the Gospel of Luke would be Act 1 and the Book of Acts would be Act 2. The earliest Christians built their community about what they stood for, not what they stood against. The earliest church was about being witnesses to God's love in their own life and telling that story. And so, shouldn't we be about that too? So, to recap, if the life of Jesus in the early church was a play, the Gospel of Luke would be Act 1 and the Book of Acts would be Act 2.
Well, I seem to be saying this next thing quite a lot lately, but some of the struggles that we're facing today aren't new. Some of the struggles we are facing today are newer for human beings, but some of them are quite old. Some of them are really a tale as old as time. And one of those struggles we have is this matter of including people that are different than us, including people that are different than me, including people that are different than us, and bringing them into our communities. And the struggle that we're having today in this regard, both for us as followers of Jesus and for people at large in our world today, is something that the early church struggled with. Something that the early church struggled with, that if they're struggling with that 2,000 years ago, and we're struggling with it today, it must be something that is a real issue for people. Now, the fact of the matter is, in the early church, they were struggling to understand how these outsiders were becoming insiders and what to do about this. They were struggling with understanding what does it mean that all of a sudden it seemed like God's love was for everybody. Now, we hear that and we think that sounds pretty normal, but back at that time, that was a real struggle for some people. So if we know that they struggled with it then, and we're struggling with it now, then if we look to the lessons and the teachings of the early church, we can get a better idea of how to make our way forward in this time. Now, specifically, there's the story of what happened between these two people, Peter and Cornelius, that we can look to help us understand who and how God loves all people. Now, this person, Peter, you might know him because his name is Simon Peter. And Simon Peter was one of the most famous followers of Jesus, famous because he was the one who denied Jesus three times, but also the one who Jesus said, "I'm going to build my people by you leading." And the good news for us is that God doesn't give up on imperfect people, and he didn't give up on Peter because he used Peter in amazing ways. And if he uses imperfect people, well, that's good news because that means he can use me and he can use all of us. And so Peter was the leader of the early church. And when I say the leader, he was like the point guy. And when I say early church, I mean in the days, weeks, and months following Jesus' death and resurrection. And so Peter was a leader in those days. But Peter struggled with understanding how to include people that were different than him as well, just like many people did back in that day. But Peter had an experience that showed him that God's love was meant for all people, that God loves one, and that God loves all. Now, there was this time where there was this Roman centurion whose name was Cornelius, who had a vision from God. Now, Cornelius wasn't just your average Roman centurion. He was a Roman leader, a centurion meaning he had about 100 men under his command. But he wasn't your normal centurion because he was a good guy. He was, as it says in the book of Acts, was someone who was thought of as being a God-fearer, someone who believed in God and someone who prayed to God. It also says that he was very generous with his giving to people in need. And so he had a special place in the community in some ways, but in the other ways, he was a centurion. He was Roman. And so anybody who was a Jew would not have liked him. They would have seen him as the enemy. They would have seen him as the representatives of the empire. And the Roman Empire was not doing good things when it comes to the people of Israel in many cultures and civilizations. Because as we know, the Roman Empire was going throughout the known world and stamping out one culture at a time and turning them into Roman culture. And the Jews were worried that they were next. Now what happens is Cornelius has this vision that he is supposed to send some men to go get Simon Peter to come and spend some time with him. And he gets this vision because God is pleased and sees that he has become a good person who God wants to love. And so Cornelius has this vision, and he then goes and he sends his men to find Peter so that he can bring them back to meet him. Now, at the same time all this is going on, incidentally, Peter has a vision as well. It says in one afternoon when Peter was praying, about middle of the day, he got hungry. And it sounds like he put his order in for lunch and some people started making it. And while that was happening, he got into a trance. Now, this all sounds a little fishy to us as we hear this story, but back in the day, this is how they believed God talked to them. And so what happened was God sent Peter this vision. What Peter saw in his mind's eye was a sheet coming from heaven with four corners being held tight and animals of all kinds on it. And the sheet descended from heaven and came down. And when it landed, Peter heard God talk to him. And what God said to Peter was, "Take these animals, kill them, and eat." Now Peter hears this and he says, "Lord, no, I'm not going to do this because these are unclean animals and I am a clean man. I am not going to defile myself with these profane and non-sacred animals." But God says to him, "Anything that I have made is not unclean." And this happens three times in the vision total. Now it says that Peter then kind of wakes up from the trance and he's quite perplexed at what has happened. And you know, you would be too if you were him, because if you were a good Jewish person like Peter was, you would have known that you weren't supposed to eat unclean animals, because in the book of Leviticus, which is this part of the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, you know what you can eat and what you can't eat. You know that if you eat these unclean animals, you will become unclean yourself and you can't participate in the religious community. You can't participate in that, and your friends will shun you. And you never know if that's going to end, or you're going to have to work really hard to get back in favor. And Peter says, "I'm not going to do that." But then what happens is he has another prompting, because the men that Cornelius sends show up to the house where he's staying. And this prompting that he has from God at that time then was to go with these people, no questions asked. And so Peter hears this vision, this prompting from God, and he understands then that these men had arrived, and he says to his friends, the house that he was staying with, the people there, "Let them in," and they have a conversation. Now these men come in, and they tell Peter about the vision that Cornelius had, and how Cornelius wants Peter to come and visit. Now, ordinarily, if you are Peter, who's a Jew, and the Roman leader of the area says, "You're going to come and spend some time with me," your answer is yes, whether you want to go or not. But in this case, Peter knew that he had to go. And so Peter then invited them to stay with him for the evening, gave them food, and then they left the next day to go back to Cornelius. So the story picks up then with Peter going with these men back to Cornelius' house. And they arrive at Cornelius' house, and after some kind of weird start to the conversation that you have to check out for yourself sometime, Peter launches into a really kind of awkward statement. He talks to Cornelius, who had invited all of his family and friends to come with him, and he says to these people, "You know that as a good Jew that I am, I should not be spending time with you, the dirty and unclean and uncircumcised people that you are." So with that out of the way, can you tell me why I'm here? Talk about a super awkward moment. But Peter recovers because Cornelius goes in and tells him, and so that the people there could know too, tells them about the vision that he had. Now he explains about all these things and how God told him to go send for Peter and how he was there. And while Cornelius was telling this story, Peter would have begun to fully realize that something amazing was happening, because Cornelius had this vision from God and Peter had a vision from God. And so what was undeniable in that moment, that God was up to something new, that God was up to something different. And so after Cornelius explains all this, then Peter says to the crowd who had gathered, "You know, I used to believe that God only loved some people. And in fact, actually, God only loved me and my people. But what I've learned is that God shows no partiality, that God actually loves all people no matter who you are or where you've come from, that God's love is for all people, which would have been a relief to everybody who was there. And so he then goes on to explain to the people at that time exactly who Jesus was and all about the life of Jesus, all about the teachings of Jesus, all about Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection, and all that Jesus had promised about what is and what would come. And in the midst of while Peter was talking, the most amazing thing happened. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, showed up and came upon those people, came upon Cornelius, came upon his friends and family, and they started to experience the gift of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And it says in the text that Peter and the people that were with him were astounded that this could happen, because they never would have expected that God's Spirit, God's blessing, God's love could come upon people like this. And as it's happening, Peter is realizing that a massive change is about to happen. And so he looks at the people who are experiencing the gift of God's blessing, and he looks to the people that he came with, and he says, if this can happen to them, who are we to withhold baptism from them? Which is another way of saying, who are we to say that they can't be a part of the covenant community, that they can't be included? And Peter then orders that they are to be baptized. And so Cornelius and all who experienced the gift of God's love in that moment were baptized and welcomed into the family. Now, I wish that the story, the to-be-continued part of this, was that it was easy and smooth sailing from there for the early church. They totally just understood that God totally rewrote the script and that everybody was included and valued from that point on. But the fact of the matter is, they struggled at times then to understand what it meant that God had love for one and God had love for all. Just like we continue to struggle with understanding that God has love for one and God has love for all in this day and age. The fact of the matter is that followers of Jesus, the church, we have struggled with this throughout all the ages. And the church has been at the epicenter throughout all of Western history of making some people insiders and some people outsiders, welcoming some and excluding others. Jesus brought about a message of inclusion and embrace, and at times we seem to be all about excluding people and forcing them out. And the fact of the matter is, that's not what God wants for the church. That's not what God wants for the world either. And it's through the lessons and the teachings of the early church and the experience that Peter had with Cornelius and his family that some of that became super clear for them then and for us today. Because Peter was the perfect one to see this and help all of us see this. Peter was the only person who walked with Jesus when he was here. He was the only one who saw Jesus die on the cross and then was going to see the Holy Spirit come upon the people for the first time in Jerusalem when the Spirit came upon those first Jews. He then was the only one who also then saw the Spirit come upon the Samaritans, who were like the cousins of the Jews. And you know, God can love your cousins, right? But that's about as far as it's going to go. Well, then Peter was the one who saw the Holy Spirit come upon Cornelius and his family, come upon the Romans, to come upon the enemy, the uncircumcised, the unclean. And what Peter saw was that God was loving one and loving all. And what Peter knew then, and we need to hear now, is that we also are called to love one and to call to love all, no matter who they are and how different that might be from us. Now, I don't know if you needed to hear this story, but I know that I needed to hear this story. In fact, I know there are many of us who need to hear this story and be reminded about just how true this is. Maybe you're someone who understands that this is what God wants for us, that God wants us to have a church and to be people of inclusion and embrace and not exclusion and distancing people. And maybe you're doing that work and you need to hear this story because you need to be encouraged to continue doing that work. So I hope that in hearing this story, you are encouraged to keep doing what you're doing. Maybe you're someone who understands the importance of inclusion and embrace, but aren't totally sure how that intersects with faith or how it intersects with the church. Or maybe you're aware that the church has not always been good at this, and you're wondering, how can we get back to this fundamental reality of the embrace of God's love? And by hearing the story of the struggle of the church with this, but also the beginnings of how it started to change, that can encourage you to continue on understanding that God is doing something great through including people and embracing people. And it can encourage you to see how we can all do better. And I know there's some of us that are hearing this story that needed to hear the story because you're really struggling with where the world's at these days. Maybe you're kind of confused where the church is in all this these days. And you're trying to reconcile with this feeling that you want to be more inclusive and more embracing of people, but you have these things that you used to believe or things that you used to think, and you're not sure how to reconcile these things. And you have this tension between what you want to believe and where you think you're going and who you were and what you used to believe. And hopefully this story can help you see a way forward to pay attention to that tension and see what God is trying to teach you. See what God is trying to show you. See just how true it is that God's love is for one and God's love is for all. But I know what's true for all of us is that all of us need to be reminded of what God did in those days of the early church, because we are still part of that story that's unfolding. We're part of the story that at that time feels like a to be continued is still our story today. So what Peter saw God doing is what God is still doing today. God is still showing us how God loves one and God loves all. And we know that God was calling the early church to do this. God is calling us today to do this still as well. And as we see this, we know that this is the kind of people God wants us to be. God wants us to love one and to love all. God wants us to be people who are filled with inclusion and embrace, because that's what God does for us, and that's what God wants us to do for all people.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.